Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Rob and Kelvin, and we're two best friends that met in a McDonald's ball pit at 7 years old and haven't been able to shut up about games ever since. If you guys are joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We are the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. Yes, we record every single day to give you the latest gaming news. Isn't that right, Kel?
That is correct. He is true. He is right.
I'm not lying to you guys. And we also did mean McDonald's ball pit. So fun times.
Yes.
Fun times.
Very fun times.
How are you doing? What's good? I'm good. I'm drinking a Dos Equis for the lime in it. What about you?
I want to. I really do. But I'm not going to.
That's fair.
I'm doing good, man. I'm trying to... I don't think I've really mentioned it to anybody on the podcast, but I've been trying to lose some weight. I've been trying to kind of hold myself accountable for things and make sure that I eat well or eat better, you know? So I'm trying to, you know, it's hard. It's tough, but...
Man's is grumpy. Man's is grumpy because he's not eating.
Yes. I want food.
I will tell you, the vegetarian diet does work. It just works. I haven't gained weight. And I don't eat the best either. Like when I go out, I go hard and I eat whatever I want.
Well, yeah, because you always eat well at home.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, we try to. But vegetarian diet, always lose weight. And we try to limit. I've been really, really trying to not go out and eat as much during the week.
Yeah. Same.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is try to eat at home as much as possible and just make good choices. And then you don't feel bad indulging when you need to. Right.
My thing is, my issue is I overindulge. I overeat. You know, I don't have a cutoff as to all right, this plate needs to be full. Because, I mean, if you remember, my mom, that's how she would feed us. Remember, she would literally give us a plate of food and it'd be a mountain full of food. And so I've just grown accustomed to that. But I need to tone it down. I need to really eat more in portions and just kind of watch what I'm eating, you know. So
and a big factor, too, is the oil that you use. Right. Mm-hmm. To fry the food or right. I guarantee you she was using vegetable oil or canola oil or something 100%. That. Right. Which is 100%. One of the, I think they're not the
worst.
Right.
Clogging things you could possibly. Yeah. It's just not great for you.
Right.
But yeah. I'm doing my thing. Trying to hold up. So let's see how long I last. So far, so good, though. It's been 2 weeks.
Well, I think you're going to do it. I think you'll see some results. And once you go, I can see you just, you don't need to lose weight, by the way. I'm just saying you look fine. I don't think
just need to, just slimmer down a little bit, just kind of feel a little bit more better. I mean, I just can't go to the gym. Just no way. You know what I mean? I cannot do it. I mean, I have a Peloton. I could do that, but that's a whole different story. That's a whole different podcast.
Well, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm in the Cosmo region, Cosmo Canyon. So I'm finally there and I think I just completed it. Not the whole thing, not the actual entire thing, but I think you're right behind me. Are you still in the Golden Saucer area?
Yeah, I haven't made progress. So yeah.
You'll get there. Slow but steady wins the race, you know?
Slow and steady. You're right. I'm getting there though. Yesterday I was like, you know what? My first day back from home from my vacation, I'm just going to relax, watch some TV and... That's exactly what I did. Did not play any games. I did play Persona when I was away, though. So I don't think I mentioned that to you, but I did play Persona when I was on vacation.
Nice.
And that was fun. That was cool. So I made some progress there.
Just an easy game to pick up and just on your ally, right?
Yep, on my ally. Yep.
There you go. Real quick, some housekeeping stuff for you guys. We did record this past week with... Nick from the Friday Night Gamecast. Go check out the episode. We dive into Star Wars Outlaws. So that was a really fun episode we did. And then we also had Nave for the Gaming Together podcast join as a guest co-host. And we spoke about the next generation of Xbox as far as what the console is going to look like. So please check those episodes out and their respective podcast as well, because they make some amazing content. Without further ado, let's move on to the Gaming Duo news, Kelvin.
The Gaming Duo.
Love it. We got a Prince of Persia roguelite from Dead Cell Studio has been announced. Trailer dropped and it was really, really well done as far as the animation goes. And what I love the most about the trailers they showed, it blended into gameplay at the end. Because I'm always not a big fan of when they show a trailer for something and they don't show gameplay right off the jump. I'm like, all right, I want to see what the game actually looks like. And they did that towards the end, which was great. It's going to be a 2D action platformer. It's going to release May 14th of this year via Steam Early Access. It is a studio behind Dead Cells. There's going to be a lot of options here, guys. You're going to have twin dagger, spears, swords, and there's going to be a lot of bosses, levels, weapons, enemies, upgrades, released depending on the feedback they get from the community. But it looks awesome. So if you haven't seen the trailer, it's literally called Prince of Persia Roguelike.
Is that the name?
I believe it is. Yeah, I didn't see like any. Yeah. So what did you think of the trailer?
I've watched it last like briefly, but then I'm watching it right now as we speak. It looks great. I think it reminds me of like these concept arts for like, you know, animated like Disney shows or something, Disney movies, right? Like kind of like give you like a glimpse of like behind the scenes of like what they did to make these animated. So it's kind of like in the beginning stages of that. It looks cool. I like the aesthetic to it. I like the drawings. I like how everything looks. It makes me. It's such a totally different vibe than what we know, like learn to love about Prince of Persia, right? Like originally when we played Prince of Persia on PS2, it's such a different vibe than what it is now. But I like it. I dig it. I think it's cool. I think it's, I love that, you know, Ubisoft and they're all trying to make something different. They're all trying to like kind of change it up a little bit, especially with the Prince of Persia franchise. So it's nice that they're kind of deviating from something completely different than what we've known to kind of. Oh, wow. That's cool. It just went from like,
yeah,
mentioned. Yeah, it blends in. That's really cool. I like that. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying now. So, yeah.
It's called the Rogue, by the way. It's not roguelike. It's called the Rogue, Prince of Persia.
The Rogue. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, but I'm digging it. It looks really cool. This is kind of totally like up my alley as far as like what I would play. I've noticed I'm kind of nervous about roguelike games because, and granted, I love like Metroidvania games, right? Like I love like Metroid Prime, all that stuff. But like for some reason, like roguelike titles, like roguelike games, they always tend to get me a little nervous going like diving into it first because I don't really know what to expect. I don't know how difficult the difficulty will spike for me, and I don't know if I'm gonna keep playing the game. I'm not sure if I'm gonna stick with it. And so it always gets me like that nervousness of like, am I gonna stick with this?
You get nervous? Like that's a feeling that you get?
I get a feeling. I get feelings, Rob. Before I start games, there's feelings attached to these games before I start them. I don't know if you know that.
Nervous about playing a game. I understand if you're playing like a horror game, anxiety, stress. No. I feel that when I'm playing horror games, but
somebody has to understand what I feel. When you pick up a game and like let's say it's a RPG, like a 40-hour RPG like Persona or something that you're gonna know that you're gonna dive into so like for X amount of time, there has to be some type of like jitterness or like antsiness to it. You're like, oh man, like I hope I like this game, or I hope I stick with it, or I hope, you know, this clicks with me. Like there has to be some type of like feeling.
Excitement. If I don't like it, I don't like it. Like there's nothing to be nervous about. I'm jumping in. I'm just like, okay, it's going to suck or it's going to be good. Like those are the two options, or it might be mid, right? Those are the three things. So maybe your anticipation. I think that's what you're like. The anticipation of the game might be getting you like feeling a certain way. I don't know if nervous is a good way, because like nervous is like what you feel in the before a job interview, right? Or like you're about to like propose. That's like nervous. But like for a game, I don't think nervous. Do you actually feel like
I shaky? Feel nervous? I'm pretty sure that's the feeling that I get when I'm playing certain games. Not every single game, but certain games that I know I'm diving in there, not really too sure if I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm not really too sure about like the genre itself. I get that feeling of like,
are you apprehensive about the game?
Apprehensive is a good word too. Yeah. I feel things, Rob. I feel things when I start new things. You know what I mean? You know, roguelike titles are what does that to me. So
this game looks good, right?
Looks good. Looks great. I love, again, what we just said. Everything looks great. Previews have already been out. Everybody's saying great things about it. So I'm really excited to see and jump in. You know, I'm hoping they give like some type of demo or some type of like early access thing or something for like PlayStation Plus or Game Pass or some sort. That would be cool to dive in. I don't think they would, but you know, something to kind of give us a glimpse of what this game feels like, you know, before diving in.
Yeah, let's talk about Ubisoft for a bit here. We just talked about Outlaws yesterday with Nick, how that game kind of feels. But when it comes to Prince of Persia, we kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. They are kind of like giving out this IP, like they're dishing it out to everyone who wants to take it in a sense. Like, you know, right. They just came out with the side-scroller Prince of Persia earlier this year. What's the name of that game? The Forgotten Crown or something like that.
Yep, something like that. Yep,
something like that. Yeah, I have to forget the name of it, but that game came out, and this again was a side scroller, right? This is also a side scroller, but this is more roguelike than the other one was. So this is pretty Crown. The Lost Crown. I knew it was Crown something. So it's interesting that we have the remake coming, the Sands of Time remake. We have this game, and then we have the Lost Crown, right? That is, and they're all different iterations of the Prince of Persia of that franchise. So it's interesting that they're taking that IP and doing a lot with it, right? It's not just like, we're just going to do this title and that's it. It's like, no, we're going to give it to anyone who kind of going to like the League of Legends riot, where like, we're going to make a bunch of spinoffs. So I think that's really cool that they're actually lending it and exploring with it. I think that they should do that more.
We gave Ubisoft a lot of shit yesterday.
We did.
And sorry, rightfully so. I think they deserve some of that because they've been kind of in this weird, like just weird funk lately. Right. But on a positive note, like we've said, they are treating the Prince of Persia franchise with respect, and they're doing a lot of cool things in general, right? They're trying different things, and I do respect that. They're trying at least, right? They're not just kind of throwing things out there, just kind of like doing the same old thing. They're trying different things out and kind of focusing on a specific title and molding it to the specific genre that they are trying to sell the audience to. So I think they're doing a great job when it comes to Prince of Persia, though, for sure. I'm hoping, like you said, they deviate and do that to other titles. Like I can imagine Assassin's Creed of like a roguelike or like an online multiplayer, which we've done that already, but something different with the Assassin's Creed franchise, that would be really cool. But so far, Prince of Persia, they're nailing it. I think this gets me a little bit more hopeful for Prince of Persia remake, right? Because they're treating the Prince of Persia franchise like pretty royalty. Well so far, like royalty, right? I like that. So the remake, I'm getting a little bit more excited for that, because when it does come out eventually, you know, they put in the time to make that like really stand out, right? So we'll see what Ubisoft does. I'm curious to see how Ubisoft looks like in like 5-10 years from now. If they continue this route, you know, changing things up, making different choices. So we'll see.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see the feedback they get from Star Wars Outlaws, right? And their respective games that they came out with at this point. They're going to say, okay, people are liking the way we're doing this, so let's start moving in this direction, because obviously it resonates with people, right? People didn't necessarily vibe with the big open worldness anymore. So maybe that's why they're coming out with the other Assassin's Creed. Hopefully they try to adjust it with Mirage to try and make it more of a linear experience. It was well received for the most part, but you know, they're trying different things, and that's what we like to see. So let's move on to Bungie teases what is beyond Destiny 2.
It's like there was part 2 from yesterday, huh?
Right. So yesterday they had a live stream showcasing the final shape, their last DLC for Destiny 2. It was, you know, all the information's there on the episode. You can actually go on YouTube. They do a whole breakdown. But we're also curious as to what's happening after that. What is going to be the goal of Destiny? What does Destiny look like after Destiny 2? And this was off of a Reddit leak, so take with a grain of salt. It is working on a system that is called Prison that will allow players to mix up and match abilities to different skills like that. So they confirmed basically this person was right about what was shown. In the same post, it was claimed that Destiny 3 was in development under the code Payback. One of the big changes for Destiny 3 is for classes to no longer exist and allow any character to spec into any ability, since lore-wise, there is no reason you couldn't. So this is, again, a rumor, but the leak that said the prismatic thing was happening was confirmed correct, right? So that's why everyone's like, oh, so maybe the second part about Destiny 3, about you not needing, you can just like basically spec any way you want, doesn't matter what class, might be true. So that's all we got for Destiny 3. You excited for Destiny 3? Are you excited for... Oh, and they're also going into episodic now. They're going to be episodic seasons rather than full-fledged seasons. So I think that's a good move.
Yeah, good move. I don't know. I mean, we talked a lot about this yesterday, right? Definitely check out that episode with Nick as we dive into the Final Shape DLC for Destiny 2. But we also discussed what Destiny looks like in the future, what other games Bungie could be working on besides Marathon. As far as Destiny 2 and what Destiny 3 looks like, if that is true, I don't know, honestly. There's not much to really spark from this so-called leak, because obviously there wasn't much to kind of go off of. But it seems like, if I was a betting man, I would only imagine Bungie working in some aspects to a, you know, to come, or at least thinking about making Destiny 3 in some shape or form, right? Right. What that looks like, I don't know. Obviously, they're making some changes. It's just weird to me that on the final DLC, they give you that, like, the prismatic or something, like what it's called, the subdivisions.
Prismatic. Yeah.
And so you're able to change, you know, subclasses and stuff. But then in part three, if that's what they're alluding to, they just kind of like bring those walls down, and you can kind of like, you know, just spec any abilities you want. So I don't know. It again, take it with a grain of salt. I don't know if this is true or not, but due to the fact that they had the first part right, it seems more than likely that Destiny 3 is being developed. And it seems like Bungie is finding and cooking ways to make Destiny 3 better than the previous ones.
Let them cook.
Cook.
Let them cook. Yeah, I was talking to one of my buddies who's a big Destiny player, and he's slowly trying to be like, listen, man, if you want to go back to Destiny 2, I'll walk you through the entire way. We actually have multiple buddies that are into Destiny.
Oh, yeah. They've told us Destiny so many 2. Times, man. Hey, man, we'll take you there, man. We'll take you slow. You know, hold your hand.
It's just the armor looks so cool and the abilities look so cool. So it always piques my interest. So regardless, it seems like Bungie is, you know, knows what they're doing with Destiny at this point. So I am not concerned in any way.
If anything, for Destiny 3, I would like for them to maybe make it a little bit more accessible to newcomers somehow. Not to hinder any of the storyline that they've created so far, but maybe make it so that it's easier for us newcomers to join in some aspect. I don't know how that looks like, but just to break the barrier a little bit for people like us, it would get me a little bit more intrigued and a little bit more excited for Destiny 3. Because like you said, it's one of those things where we want to get into the lore, but because the lore is so massive and so you know, cumbersome, it's hard to like get into one specific part of Destiny, right? So if they somehow make it so that Destiny 3 is more accessible to us, then maybe, you know, maybe I consider, because I would love, and I've always said this, I want some type of game that I can continue going into for years to come as like just comfort food, and an MMO would kind of fill that gap, right? But nothing so far has hit that stride for me. Nothing. Final Fantasy 14, I would like to go into
Destiny. You didn't like that. You didn't even play it. You were like, I'm not doing that.
Right. No. But it's like that. I just want something that, you know, I can dive into 3, 4, 5 years and still play this game because it's just comfort food for me. But I have never experienced a game like that so far, besides like Super Smash Brothers. But that's not like a, you know, a lively.
You're not leveling game, up, you know? And like, you're progressing.
I want that. Like that. I want a Destiny 2, and maybe Destiny 3 might be the one for me, right? But it's just going to be so hard to dive in there unless we dive in day one, like we buy Destiny 3 day one and see where that takes us. Because we'll kind of like, you know, adjust as they continue to update the game. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not excited, but I'm hoping Destiny 3 turns out well, and maybe that might, you know, spike my interest.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if we can get into Kingdom Hearts lore and understand what that's the hell true. Is going on with Kingdom Hearts.
But see, we were there since day one.
Yeah, but like, there's YouTube videos now, and there's other, I can't think of the lore, but you could literally watch YouTube and just like get the lore, or even listen to a podcast, right? That gives you a breakdown of the lore. It makes it easy for you to understand it. But because like trying to find the lore out yourself while playing is very difficult. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Even when I knew Kingdom Hearts and I was in it, I was still like looking up stuff. I'm like, why is there two people, but they look the same? And they are not the same, but there actually is one that looks exactly like the other person. But like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you have to look that stuff up still. So I think regardless, you're still going to have to do research on a lore as deep as that, even if you are actively playing the game. So let's take a little break because your boy needs to take a swig.
Swig it.
Wet the whistle, you know?
Wet the whistle. I love it. Love it.
All right. By the way, if you guys are enjoying this episode, please rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, drop a review, and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duo community by joining our Discord server where friendships are truly built through gaming. Yeah. So guys, the link to that Discord server will be in the description below the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. So please go ahead and listen and leave a review. That helps us a lot.
If you leave a review, we'll put it on the pod. You know, if it's nice enough, we'll shout you out, you know, so
you'll do it.
Definitely consider it. We'll appreciate it.
Again, shout out to all of our guests that have recently come on. We appreciate you guys for, you know, the nature of the podcast is very quick, right? It happens very quickly as far as, you know, we have this thing that pops up. Can you talk about this thing? And they're like, yep, let's do it. So we appreciate your support and being troopers and being like, yeah, we'll jump on and do it. So it's very short notice because of the news is every day and fun stuff. Okay. Next thing on the news, we have a couple of quick things that we want to hit. Slay the Spire 2 has been announced. So if you guys don't know what Slay the Spire is, it is a deck builder roguelike. It is a hugely popular game. It's been on Game Pass. People played a bunch on Steam. Very fun. I've played it a couple times. I've been in bed. You know, it's kind of like my go-to when I'm in bed on my Ally or whatever. I play it sometimes. Very fun game. But they're coming out part two, which will be early access in 2025 on Steam. Kelp, have you played Slay the Spire at all?
No, but it does seem pretty cool. Seems like it's...
You would like it. You would like
right
it
up my alley.
Lot.
Yeah. So
you would like it a lot.
So you said it's on Game Pass, right?
It's on Game Pass. I think it still is, but it's you can always get on sale on Steam for like it goes on sale all the time.
It's cheap. It's like it came out in 2017, so it's probably dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's a very good game. Very, very good game, and just very well done. So I'm excited for and the community is super excited. So
enough for it to have a sequel. So, you know, excited for that.
So there was a thing that came out with Dead Space 2 remake. They said that it was shelved due to poor sales. So they're not doing the Dead Space because Dead Space original remake didn't do well or didn't live up to expectations. But that is not true. This is why we take rumors with a grain of salt, because sometimes they just aren't true. Jason Schreier said on X, the rumors today suggest that EA shelved Dead Space 2 remake, and an EA spokesperson denied, saying there was no validity to this story. People familiar with the project tell Bloomberg that EA's statement is correct. Motive has been on other projects for nearly a year. So EA flat out just came out and was just like, nah, that's not true. So maybe they are working on it. Maybe they're not working on it. But I think it did decent from what I remember. I mean, a lot of people playing that game, right?
I know it sold over 2 million copies. One, because the one of the, I think it was the director or whatnot, he mentioned that the game sold over 1 million copies, and that was like, you know, 6 months after release or something like that. So at this point, you could imagine that the game has at least 2 million under its belt. There's no like official sales numbers for it though, so you can't really look it up as far as like officially. But you can only kind of guesstimate as far as like what they have. So, and I was talking to Rudy about this on Twitter, because it just seems interesting that EA's expectations for the sales, like their projected sales for the game, is upwards of like, you could only imagine like over 5 million, right? Because their expectations of like what this game should have sold is around that area, right? Whereas for me, 2 million, I'm like, oh, the game did well. All right, good. All right. It's anything that sells over a million, I feel like it does significantly well.
But I mean, considering it's a remake, it's not even like, right. It's a remaster slash like remake. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's odd that EA expected more from this, but I mean, EA is EA, you know, these big companies, they expect like astronomical numbers. So, it is what it is, right? So yeah, it's unfortunate, because I would have loved to see Dead Space 2 come out, if that is something that they would work on at some point in the future, because I think, to me, Dead Space 2 was probably the best one out of the series. But it is what it is, man. I guess
they don't confirm it though. It's not confirmed if it happened or not. Like, EA straight up was like, that's not true. Yeah. Like, that we shelved it. So like, I feel like that's necessarily, there's no validity to it. Like they're sure. Like Jason Schreier said. So I think that Dead Space 2 could honestly be a thing. Right.
Like, could be. Still, mm-hmm. I always see it as if there's enough traction, and I can be totally wrong about this, but if there's enough traction where a lot of media sites are picking up on this, there must have been some validity to it, right? Whether EA says, you know, yeah, that's not true, like I honestly don't really believe EA exactly, as far as like, hey, yeah, we were working on this, we weren't working on this, it's all he or she say, right? It doesn't really, there is no weight to any of this at this point. Again, these are all just rumors, but if it is that they were working on this and they kind of, it doesn't mean that they canceled it. It just means like, hey, we're just putting this in the back burner because right. It's not something that we're going to work on right now. So, but if they do go back to it and continue working on Dead Space, I think that's going to be great to have Dead Space 2 come out. But then if they're working on two other projects, when do you expect Dead Space 2 to be out? You know, it's going to be years from now.
Yeah, right? I don't think it's a priority right now for them. I think that's just not what... You know, they might just be like, we want to work on other projects first before we kind of like, maybe more of a slower time where we need something that will sell quick. Remake Dead Space 2, right? Again, game's not that old. Game's like 10 years old, 12 years old, if that. I think it came out 2010. 13 years old. Damn, it's that old. Fuck,
it's fucking old, bro.
It's not like that old, but like it's old enough to where like it, if you played it, it might show its age quite a bit. But
oh yeah, and then if you push it down a little bit more, it's gonna, you know, you're pushing in the 15-20 year old, you know, like, so yeah, we'll see. Again, it's just interesting how I always say this, I wish I was a fly on the wall. I would love to be a fly. Fucking fly, man.
Kelvin Fly. On the same subject of EA, they are increasing the price of EA Play Sub, their subscription service, which I don't know a single person that has that subscription. True. It's very always true. Shown to me on Game Pass, and it's like,
you're like, no, nope.
Hey, yeah, I'm like, no, guys, I'm not doing that. So you could play Battlefield, you could play Madden if you're into that, you could play Apex Legends, but like that's a free game anyways, like
right.
Dragon Age is on there, the Mass Effect's on, so like I don't really see the point of EA sub whatever, but the prices are going up for you guys that have it. It's, I don't know, don't spend your money on it. I'm just gonna be honest with you, use Game Pass or something instead. Anyways, and the last little bit of news here, Pocket Pair has teased a PvP arena for Valorant coming this year.
Let's go.
I saw a small little teaser trailer they showed, and it actually looked insane. It's just like, it's like you, your three pals, and you're just like shooting machine gun fire, and it actually looked pretty dope. It looked pretty dope for the little snippet it showed. But
shout out to Power World, man. Shout out to Power World.
Well, I feel it, like
It's weird because it came and went, but there's still a massive, massive like fan base that still plays that game.
There's a little bit of crickets right now. There's a little bit of crickets, but it happens of every single game, right?
I think when it comes eventually to like PS5, it'll get that second wind, you know?
For sure, for sure. We have reviews for the Fallout TV series. It releases April 12th on Amazon Prime. Dun, dun, dun. It got 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to read some of these reviews.
All right, go for it.
All right. So with its razor sharp wit, 1950s soundtrack, and stylish yet bloody violence, this is a strong contender for the best series you'll watch this year. Damn. I'll read two more. Fallout makes you want to venture out of the vault and explore its vast, rich, if not violent, world. Last one I'll read. Prime's video TV adaptation of Fallout does something the games in the legendary franchise never have. Put storytelling above everything else. All good things. All good things.
I'm impressed. Color me impressed. I had no real thoughts behind this show when I first saw it. I'm like, okay, we'll see what you got. You know, I'm optimistic because the video game adaptation industry has grown a lot in the past few years.
Yep.
So this just solidifies it. Everything is pointing at great things about this. And I think they've already announced that a season two is in the works. So good things. I do want to read a little snippet from IGN because I think this kind of like, you know, just kind of puts a bow on everything with this. It reads, "A bright and funny apocalypse filled with dark punchlines and bursts of ultra violence, Fallout stands up there with The Last of Us among the best game adaptations ever made. Brilliantly constructed, its three distinct leads travel through clever linked storylines that build to a fantastic finale. Along the way, there's a megaton of treats for long-term fans thanks to the immaculate production design and attention to detail, but never at the expense of making this an ideal starting point for the uninitiated. It's another special effort from Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy and easily earns a big thumbs up." Nice.
I also love Walton Goggins. He is a awesome actor. Every time I see him in a movie, I'm like, yes, because he is just awesome. Like, and him playing as the ghoul, I can't wait to see him. So I'm actually really excited to watch this and see him in it. April 12th.
And it's out today. So if you guys are listening to this, you guys, you know, can check it out. It's on Amazon. So definitely give it a shot because I'll probably watch this probably when it comes out tonight or tomorrow, I guess.
Right. So last piece of news for you guys before we end here. Microsoft has entered an agreement with Chinese giant NetEase. Basically, NetEase is responsible for not letting WoW come to the Chinese market, any of the Blizzard stuff. So for reference, Blizzard had held licensing agreements with NetEase since 2008, but it's pulled its games from Chinese market last January. Due to Microsoft acquisition last year, a new renewed publishing deal has been struck, allowing Blizzard Games to return to the Chinese market starting this summer. So I remember we covered this news piece where WoW was not going to be available to China anymore. And looks like Microsoft has remedied it and they came to an agreement. And I think that's pretty awesome for here in China.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good. Oh, Bill. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is great. I think they're heading in the right direction as far as getting the, the market that the more share, right? Because they always struggled in the Chinese market. They've always struggled in like the Japanese market. So it's hard to like really have Microsoft. Like, I don't know. For me, I feel like Microsoft does well in the American side, right? Like North American side, but they've always struggled everywhere else. And I think this might be a good step for them, especially with the acquisition from, Activision Blizzard. I think this is a good step for them and maybe they can kind of move forward from this. But again, games like WoW, Hearthstone, Overwatch, Diablo, like all those games now readily available for the Chinese market. Like that's huge for them. Like that's huge.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have been for a while. It's just, you know, since January, I guess it would be
yeah.
when they were
but available. Like if people are diehards, you know, like that's awesome. A tough few muffs, yeah. You know?
Right. Exactly. They're just like have seizures or they're just.
Yeah.
I know.
So good on them for, you know, striking a deal. So good stuff.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to end your daily news for the day. We will have one more episode coming to you tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. We have merch. Go ahead on gamedoapod.com to support us there. We're also working some things on the back end. We'll give you updates as they go along. But please review, like, subscribe. We appreciate your support as always. Kelv, anything else before we head out?
No, I think great episode. Tomorrow, I am the host. It's a me, Kelvin. Yeah, again. Rob said it. We have some stuff cooking. So, stay tuned. I think we have some stuff to talk about and stuff to work on. So, stay tuned for that. It's gonna be great stuff.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Adios.